नमे द्वेषोऽस्ति न प्रिया ये भजन्ति तु मां भक्त्या मुहिते तेषु चाप्यहम्। समोहं सर्वभूतेषु नमे द्वेषोऽस्ति न प्रिया ये भजन्ति तु मां भक्त्या मयि तेषु चाप्यहम्। समोहं सर्वभूतेषु नमे द्वेषोऽस्ति न प्रिया ये भजन्ति तु मां भक्त्या मयि तेषु चाप्यहम्। We will not read the word to word meaning, but you can read it as a homework. So translation goes like that. Krishna says to Arjuna, I envy no one, nor I am partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also friends to him. So I will read some of the points from this translation, because if you read the entire translation, One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in the devotee who are always engaged in his transcendental service? So we'll go point by point. This is the first line of the translation. So Krishna says here, I am equal to everyone. So, at the beginning of this chapter, in the first purport only of this ninth chapter, Prabhupada writes, this Bhagavad Gita, from chapter 1 to 2, it is confidential. And Prabhupada further writes, the chapter and further chapters are more confidential, like 3, 4 and all. And when Prabhupada write the purport of this verse, he says, this is the most confidential chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And within that most confidential, Krishna is revealing in his mind from Shloka 29, 30, 31 and 32, declaring why this said is most confidential. Because first and second chapter, we learn about ourselves that we are the spiritual, we are a soul. Okay? Or we are son of sun. We are a soul. And further chapter like 3, 4, we learn about what are our activities. What are good activities, what are bad activities, and what are the activities beyond good and bad. But in this chapter, Krishna is emphasizing on what is the relationship between us as a spirit soul with Him as a Supreme Lord. So that's, in that way, this is very confidential. Very simple example, okay? Suppose, there is Bhima Prabhu and his son. So you meet his son separately and you meet Bhima Prabhu separately. But when Bhima Prabhu says, he is my son, and he says intimate relationship between, between them, the knowledge about son and knowledge about Bhima Prabhu and knowledge about their relationship is very intimate, is very confidential. So that's why the God, the super soul and the soul, this knowledge Krishna is giving and raising Arjuna's consciousness to his level. Of course, Arjuna, it is not required. He was bewildered as the Krishna's special mercy. So Krishna is raising him, raising all of us in this knowledge. And now he is entering the ninth chapter where he is telling the intimacy of the relationship between the Bhakta and Bhagavan, the devotee and the Supreme Person. So when Krishna says here, I am equal to everyone. Simple example Prabhupada is giving. If you switch on the fan, so whatever air will be generated as you are in the circumference, so it will be equally distributed by the fan. The fan is not partial. He is equal. The cloud, you know, carrying the rain, and where there is a precipitation, so it is equally distributed by that cloud. So Prabhupada further writes these examples. There are other examples in nature. Can anybody knows those examples where there is no partiality? Yes, Mataji?
Sun.
Yeah, sun. Sun distributes the rays. It is not like, you know, you say see the variation sometimes, but it is not like Mr. You know, A will get very little, you know, sunshine, and B will get more sunshine. It is not like that. So it is equally distributed. There is no partiality. Well, so this is a material example, and we are talking about the God. God is talking about himself that I am not partial. I am equal to everyone. The third example is given of moon. Of course, moon. You know what is the benefit of moon? What moon does? Yes, Tarun Guru can tell. Very nicely.
All the fruits and vegetables
grow
the
nourishment they get. Exactly. So every vegetation, you know, if there is no moon, vegetation doesn't become sweet. There is no rasa. Rasas are what we say. The moonlight creates sweetness in vegetation, you know, or juices. Juices are due to moonlight actually. It is scientifically proven and it is given in the Vedas. So moonlight energy works in that way, and sunlight also nourishes the plants, you know, equally without any partiality. So this is about the Lord. I am no partial to anyone. It is said in Mahabharata, or Prabhupada also write that shloka, Vishnu Bhakta Smruto Daiva, means whoever performed their devotional service towards Vishnu or Krishna, they are under category of demigod. Demigod means order carriers of the Lord. They are in the departmental head of the Lord. Lord is like a president, and Lord has some departments, and demigods are taking care of these departments. So they are always remembering Lord. So that's, they are the demigods. And other party is called as a demon as per the Vedic literature. Demons means they always oppose the godliness, and they always oppose the instruction from Bhagavad Gita or the instruction from Bible, Quran, any other literature. They always oppose. So the other definition of the demon, they always oppose the instruction of the Lord. It is also given. So sometimes what happens, you know, the people who believe in God, they think sometimes that God is partial towards demigod. Sorry, the God is partial towards this, you know, he is taking side of demigod and he is not taking side of demons. Now, as per Bhagavad Gita, there is one shloka, it says that each and every part and parcel, whether it is demigod's body, insect's body, Brahma's body, or demon's body, each and every soul is part and parcel of that Supreme Whole, Supreme Krishna. Then why it is a partiality? In that sense, Krishna is father. Krishna says, I am a clearly giving father of all living creatures. Then why Krishna does this partiality? He favors the demigod and he not favoring the demon sometimes. So it is said that in many instances you might have seen, when the demigods and demons were churning the ocean, there is one story in Vedic literature in 9th canto, where demigods and demons, they were churning the ocean and they were bringing vegetation and so many things. So when nectar came out, and it seems that the God, Supreme Person, Krishna or Vishnu, he is favoring the demigod. You know, if you see the apparent vision, it seems like he is a favoring. So this is the shloka of Bhagavad Gita. It is very, very confidential. Krishna is revealing that I am not at all partial. If you deeply think, how it is? Because sometimes we see one mother, there are two kids. One is obedient kid. The mother just smile on that kid because that kid is very, very obedient, you know, and taking care of, you know, their things nicely and following whatever parents are saying. And other kids is always naughty. So sometimes mother has to punish that kids, you know, in other way. Because if punishment is given, offered to that kid, that is the improvement. That is the course of action offered by mother to that kid for his improvement, because he is naughty, and that is for his benefit. because that kid is naughty and that kid will improve. And loving nature towards who is already obedient, taking care of that. And apparently it looks like I am favoring to that baby. But for his improvement, this loving exchange is very much important. And he will improve more and more and more. But for this naughty boy, I have to, you know, act in such a way, very disciplined manner. Otherwise, other people may ask me, why you have not given proper education to this particular kid? It is very naughty. So for his improvement, the same mother, which teach two children, has taken birth from womb of the same mother. But apparently we say this mother is, you know, in favor of other one baby and it is not in favor of other baby. So this is the apparent nature of mother. But only mother can understand her nature, other mother. So we have to understand that how God favors everyone, but his course of action is different for different people. And according to time, place and circumstances and the person. There are many, many examples. One day in Gokula, Putana came. Putana is a lady, those who doesn't know about read the Krishna book. So the Putana was a demon, but she disguised very nicely, you know, she took the form of very nice lady. She appears like a princess, very beautiful lady. But inside there was a demon, you know, demonic quality of Putana. Because she had killed so many babies by giving them poison. That was a past record. Nobody, Goloka police station. That was her past history of Putana. And now she is like a beautiful woman and just walking very nicely in Vrindavan. And everybody thought she has appeared from the sky to meet the Lord Krishna. Maybe she is the wife of Vishnu. She is a Lakshmi. Because her appearance was like that. And Krishna was a supreme person. He is a supreme person, not was. He is always a supreme person. Either on the lap of Yashoda Maiya or in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he is always supreme personality of Godhead. So he, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the knower of the present, I am the knower of the past, and I am the knower of the future. That's why he is a supreme person. We forget the thing, what happened yesterday. So he knows that what is the record of Putana and in what intentions he has entered in my home. So she has smeared the poison on her breast and she wanted to milk Krishna. And Krishna was few months old. And she came and she wanted to give poison to Krishna. But still, Krishna took good intention from her. Krishna, you know, she is a demon, but see, is Krishna partial here? So Krishna killed her apparently. You know, Krishna killed her apparently. But if you see deeply, the same Putana got the destination of nurse of Krishna all the time. Nursing Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. That was her destination. In spiritual sky, that Putana is there, nursing Krishna eternally. That is her destination. Now, if apparently if you see God, what do you think? Oh, God is killing this demon. Or God always killed the demon. Bakasura, Agasura, so many demons God killed, apparently. But if you see deeply, whenever it is said that, when Krishna was cutting the head of Shishupal, you know, there was one assembly, and Shishupal was one of the relative of Krishna, relative of supreme person, you know. What a position. But he was a demoniac in his nature. But Krishna gave promise to his mother because he was very envious to Krishna. So Krishna promised to his mother, means Shishupal's mother, that when he completes his 100th offense, that time I will kill him. So Krishna was so much tolerant. Krishna gave him chance to improve. But he did not improve. And in one of the assembly, he was disregarding the position of supreme person. And Krishna killed him by using his disc. And he cut his head. He separated his head from the entire body. So you may think, this is such a nice assembly and Krishna, is it auspicious thing? Actually, that was the auspicious event going on. There is a ceremony, so many pure people came there and they were enjoying, you know, because Dhritarashtra won the kingdom and they were celebrating the victory of Dhritarashtra. It is a Rajasuya Yajna. Everybody agrees with the possession of Dhritarashtra. and they cooperated with Dhritarashtra, and that was the symbol of cooperation this Rajasuya has given, that we favor Dhritarashtra. Every kings from the entire world cooperated, sorry, not Dhritarashtra, Yudhishthira. You should correct me actually. Please. I'm a space out. Okay. He is a Yudhishthira. I cannot say I was taking who is sleeping. Okay. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, So it may appear that why this auspicious event and Krishna is cutting the head of Shishupal. It is said Krishna carries his disc always in his hand as a Vishnu, and whatever is in touch with Krishna, it may be the weapon, it may be the lotus flower, it may be his flute. Krishna's body is spiritual, so that's why that disc is also spiritual. And that disc, when touch the body of Shishupal, because that is spiritual and that is very, very pure, his body also become pure. And when he killed Shishupal, he got very nice destination. He got nice destination. So whoever, it is said that there are crores of army killed in the presence of Krishna in the battle of Kurukshetra. And Mahabharata writes in conclusion, nobody got mukti. You may wonder, nobody got mukti. They got direct service. Their sarupa. Sarupa means, their direct original position in relationship with Krishna. They achieved. It is not only mukti. Mukti means you are somewhere between that effulgence. This demon gets the mukti, where they have chance of improvement and they become a devotee of Krishna. Going somewhere in the light is called as a mukti. Mukta means I am liberated, or I got salvation from this material suffering. So that is the definition of mukti in low grade. But these all armies, they were an opposite party. They were fighting against Dharma, against Krishna, against Pandava. But what was their destination? They got Swarupa Siddhi, means their relationship with Supreme was revealed at the end, because father of religion, Dharma, was present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So that was the destination of those armies. So if Krishna is partial by killing the demon, do you think he is partial? Or he is equal to everyone? So there are so many examples from Shastra. So apparently it appears that he is favoring the devotees and not favoring the demon. But Krishna always favors his everyone in one sense. Because that is the good course of action for demon, to kill them and improve them. And this is the best course of action for devotee, to always reciprocate with their patram pushpam phalam doyam. In 26, Krishna writes here, 26 shloka. If you give me leaf, if you give me water, and if you give me little patram pushpam phalam, toyam means water, phalam means fruit. So if you offer with love and devotion, I will take it. That is the first line. So I don't know how many lines we'll cover. Okay. The Lord claims that every living entity in whatever form is His Son. And so He provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rains all over, regardless of whether it's fall on a rock or a land or a water. But for His devotee, He gives specific attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. So we saw in Shastra, sometimes the father of religion, we see apparently he is breaking his own law. There are two parties in Mahabharata. The Mahabharata means the history of great India. That is called as the Mahabharata. One is Kuru party and other are Pandavas. So Krishna, Duryodhana chosen the army of Krishna, his side, and Arjuna chosen Krishna to his side. So we saw in the middle of the battlefield, one day, when Arjuna was not killing Bhishma was not killing his grandson, all five Pandavas. So Duryodhana thought, this, he has become very old and very compassionate to his all, Pandava army, this Bhishma. So he went to the camp in the night time in the cave, cabinet of Bhishma, and told him that tomorrow only you have to kill all the Pandavas. Otherwise, I will think that you are now, you know, there is no point of you are ruling all these people like a captain of this army. So Bhishma took a vow. Bhishma's vow means one he has taken, nobody can break it. He took the vow that I will remain Brahmachari in front of Satyavati. And he never married, he never conceived a child, because for Guru the child was required. But he said no. And he arranged the marriage. The Ambalika, Amba and Ambika, all, you know, you can read the first chapter of Mahabharata, how their marriages and how these Pandu, Dhritarashtra and Vidura born, you know, initially. So Bhishma never took part in such intercourse in this material world, because his only aim was to remain a Brahmacharya and take a vow. He took a very vow, nice vow, he was very determined. So Dad Bhishma told that I will kill all these Pandava tomorrow. And he told that these are the five arrows. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he told whom? Duryodhana. These are the five arrows, I will kill all of them. And Duryodhana was knowing Bhishma might be turned out tomorrow. So he took all his arrows and kept with him. But Krishna knows past, present and future. He told Arjuna that go and take that five arrows from whom? Duryodhana. Just go in middle and take that five arrows. So once upon a time, when Duryodhana and his armies were in danger, these Pandavas helped them with the fight with Gandharvas. And Duryodhana promised Arjuna, in future, you know, I will fulfill your promise. Though he was in opposite party, that is a Vedic culture. Though they were in opposite party, you know, Duryodhana remembering that war. So Arjuna came in the middle, in his camp, because he went his camp, he said in Vedic culture, if your enemy also come to your home, you will treat him as a god. Don't take it very practically. If somebody will come as a gun and you cannot, you know, pay obeisance, you have to call police. It's not like that. But that is the essence, or that is the attitude we should understand. How to serve our enemy. And your enemy will turn out to your friend. So, see, Duryodhana was treating Arjuna in the night time. Tomorrow they are fighting against each other. And today, in the night time, they were, you know, that was the reciprocation. And this Duryodhana told, Arjuna told that you gave me promise initially that I'll give you something. So this is the time to fulfill my promise. Give my all these five arrows. And Duryodhana gave all these five arrows to
Arjuna.
And next day, Bhishma know that this is the plan of Krishna, because he is supreme person, he knows everyone. And he was fighting like a lion. He was, you know, throwing his arrow as he was about to kill Pandavas. You know, all the chariots were smashed. You know, their chariot drivers were about to kill. Their wheels were smashed. And now the Pandavas were about to kill. And that time Krishna took wheel in his hand, and he just took the wheel and he ran towards Bhishma. Krishna promised in the beginning, he is a dharma, he is a religion, father of religion, he promised that I will not take weapon in my hand. But now he is breaking his old rule. To favor his devotees, or favor his lovely child, Krishna has go beyond to his promises. He knows that entire world, entire history will prove that father of religion is, you know, breaking his promise. Knowing that also, for devotees' sake, Krishna can do anything. So that is the Krishna, you know. When Arjuna, when that Karna's wheel was, you know, going inside the bhumi, going inside the earth, that was the time Krishna told Arjuna, this is the best time to kill whom? Karna. And this is a very irreligious thing, or very unethical thing. But Krishna told him. So, you know, apparently we see that, oh, Krishna, why is failing? But remember that all these armies are also going to get the best destination. All these enemies are also going to get the best destination. Not only this Arjuna. So that is Krishna. Krishna says, I am partial, nor I am partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend in me, and I am also friend to him. Okay, so it's almost 7 o'clock. So today we saw first two chapters of Bhagavad Gita are confidential. 3, 4, 5, 6 are more confidential, and the 9th chapter is most confidential. And these verses 26, 29, 30, 31, and 32 are, it's like every verse is come from the heart of Krishna, but Krishna says, as Prabhupada says in commentary, these are the most sacred verses of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is revealing his heart here. He is revealing his relationship with his devotee in this particular verse. And Prabhupada concludes here, I should not jump, to the last paragraph. This is a very nice thing. The devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world, but it is a part of spiritual world, where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. So, if you see, the Krishna's body is spiritual, and our body is a material. So, Krishna is Atmaram, he is self-sufficient. He don't want our patra, he don't want our phula, patram, pushpam, phalam, parash. He don't want water, he doesn't want other things. But it is for our benefit. If President Obama, he wanted to come to your home, it is not for his benefit, it is for your benefit. You know, and that is a Krishna's position. He is king of the entire world. So that way, you can understand that Krishna doesn't need anything, so he doesn't have any enemy also. He doesn't like to envy on anybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jana Jalo Subhadrama Ki Jai, Pita Gaurachandra Bhagavan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.